Sherry. I have a few announcements for you this morning. We do have our CD sets available from our last 2 days in God's Word out at the CD table, so you can pick those up today, In the Beginning and the Accuracy of the Scriptures. Those are $20 each. We've just printed up a limited amount, so when they're gone, they're gone. So if you want one of those sets, I would recommend you get it as soon as possible. We do have a Walking in God's Power Intermediate class coming up on July 30th through August the 1st at Ken and Kim McCaw's house. Registration forms are available in the lobby for that. We also have a 24 hours of prayer coming up on Saturday, June 27th. Going to be, 24 hours of prayer are always great times for deliverance in our church. This one's going to be very specific on what we're praying for, and we're looking forward to seeing God really come through for us on a number of things. Sign-up sheets for that are also out in the lobby. If you haven't signed up, I would recommend you do that. And we also have family camp coming up, and the registration deadline is July 1st, which is going to be here before you know it. So if you haven't signed up for that, forms for that are available out in the lobby. They're also available online. And we do have a basket out there. If you have your registration form with you today, you can put that in, okay? That's all the announcements I've got. Kathy Burke's going to be teaching us God's Word this morning. And before Kathy comes up, we're going to sing one more song, number 60, Known Only to Him. Number 60.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Last week, Tom began a series that he's going to continue in teaching next week. We looked at the importance of knowing and believing what the Word of God calls doctrine, and that it was vital as Christians that we know what God has done in Christ, and who and what we now are because of that work, and that what we do in both our personal lives and as a church is based upon that work. It's based upon the right doctrine, based upon what He has done. We look briefly at how believing the right doctrine can and should affect how we live our lives, how we conduct our lives individually and as a church. And next week, he's going to be going more into how we as a church line up and live according to that doctrine, and that I'm real excited to be hearing that. But this week I thought that we would take a look more at, a closer look at how we as individuals make that doctrine a part of our hearts, a part of our lives, to the end that it governs and directs us in what we do and say. And the Word of God calls that training in righteousness. 2 Timothy, Tom looked at this last last week with you in chapter 3. It says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We know from this section of the Word that the Word of God, it says it's all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. When we approach the Word of God, we need to remember that it is the Word of God, that it's from the mouth of God to our hearts, to our ears. We never want to come to this Word of God routinely, you know, kind of, I'm going to go read a book. This is the Word of God. It's from God's mouth to our ear, and we want to approach it with that kind of reverence, that kind of heart. It is the God-breathed Word, and it's given for us for a reason, and this verse says one of the reasons, or the reasons. It's given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's good for us. For doctrine, what we talked about last week, understanding and knowing what God says in His Word about us, believing the right stuff. For reproof, for correction, and that's all instruction in righteousness. God gave us His Word to instruct us in righteousness. And Tom mentioned, I think last week, I'm not sure if he did, I can't remember, but that the word instruction is the same word that's used for instructing children. Some of you sat through a class I did on, what was it called? God's Order for the Family, okay, thanks. But it was on teaching and training children in the Word of God. And so I have looked closely at that word. I can't say I'm an expert on it, but even if you've never looked at that word, just understanding instruction of children, it doesn't happen overnight. It's something, you know, how do parents train children? They're born and they're loved and they're cherished from the moment they're born. And to train them up according to the standard of the word involves daily, hourly, 24/7, as the world might say. It's not just something that happens immediately. Well, the training in righteousness that we receive from God doesn't happen overnight either. And many times we grow faint in our minds because we don't see the results that we want to see as we go to God's Word. But this is something that's going to take a little time. We don't change from being creatures of the world. We change spiritually. We become a new creation in Christ once we're born again. But to have this mind holding what's right, what's holy, what's pure, what's good for us, takes a little bit of training. And God's given us His Word to train us up as children, you know. Ephesians 6:4, if you'll turn there for a minute, is a section of the Word that talks about the training of children a little bit. There's a lot more in the Word about it. I'm not going to reteach that class. You know, some of you might think it's just for parents. You might learn some things about training yourself in the Word of God from that class. I did as I was working it. Oh, I'm supposed to teach my kids this? Maybe I should teach me this first. Ephesians chapter 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 1. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that word for nurture is the instruction. Parents are to do that. Christian parents are supposed to bring their kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as I mentioned in that class, that if we're going to do that as parents, guess what? We have to know it ourselves. And God works with us as children. And He's given us His Word that He might bring us up in the nurture of Him as well, that we might have that instruction in righteousness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Please. The The word for instruction is quoted in Hebrews from the Old Testament. We'll look at that later. It's quoted in Hebrews as the chastening of the Lord. And that quote comes from the Old Testament. So you can look at what's in the New Testament and see how that word is used in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at a couple of verses, just two, that are used in the Old Testament about that instruction. In Proverbs 4 and verse 13, it says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." That instruction is to be our life. You know, it's vital to a Christian to know what his word says. We cannot live as Christians in this world without a knowledge of his word, without believing and knowing the right things from his word. It's vital. Any of you in the medical field? Okay. There's a term called vital signs. And what do you take vital? What are the vital signs? Blood pressure, life, heart. I don't know what they are. Pulse? Blood pressure, temperature maybe, respiration, there's probably more, but those are signs that you check to see that people are doing, that are alive, that they're alive, that they're living, that they're doing well. The Word of God is to be that for us. It's to be vital for us. We need to make sure that we're checking our vital signs. Are we here? Are we putting our hearts and lives into what He says we're supposed to? Are we allowing that Word of God to instruct us in the way we should live? It's vital that we do so if we want to live and glorify our Father. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, just a page over, in my Bible anyways, maybe two in yours. Down in verse 23, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." See, this instruction in righteousness is to be the way of life for us. It's to be our life. It's to be the way we live our lives. And, you know, that's more than just putting a pretty verse on the wall. Look back in this section of the Word. Go back to verse 20. Yeah, 20. It says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee." Does it? It can. "When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." You get the sense that it's more than just my quiet time in the Bible for 5 minutes a day, and then I go about my day. It's to be a part of what's integral to my heart and life. In order for that to happen, we have to desire that. We have to remember that it's vital to us, that we have to want this Word of God, that we have to approach it as the Word of God with great reverence, with great awe. You know, I was greatly reproved this week because I got born again when I was 16. I'm 54. You do the math. It's been a while. And honestly, when I got born again, I was a part of a nice little church that taught me that I should have daily devotion, that I should pray and read the Bible every day. And I was faithful at it. I prayed and read the Word I'd get up at 5:30 before I had college and read the Word. Well, that's after I graduated from high school. But I did it in high school, too. I was up before school. I read the Word. I didn't understand what I was reading, but I was doing what I should. But it wasn't until later on that I understood this is the Word of God and that God would help me understand it, that that book became an open book to me. And you'd think I'd got that down and I never have to remind myself of that. But just last week, I was severely reproved by the Word of God. I'd had a situation in my heart and life that I'd been pondering, I'd been confused about and praying about for months. And I talked to people about it. I got counsel from wonderful, wise believers that I know. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the details. It's probably minor to you, but it was major to me. You know, it really was a little thing in the scope of eternity, but to me it was something that just troubled my soul. And I just went everywhere I knew to go. And I'd been reading the Word. I'd been doing the things I'm supposed to do from the Word of God. I mean, you know, you guys know me. It's something that I kind of do a little. But I sat down one morning and I was praying. And I said, "God, you know, I really don't understand. You know, help me understand." And I forgot about it. And later on that day, I was reading the Word, and I'm reading, and I went, "Phew! It's right here in the Word." You know, the answer was right there, and God helped me. And how many times do we run around, we try and we analyze, we try to figure out things in life that God has given us His Word that we might know how to live rightly, that we might walk in His ways and not our own ways. And we have to approach the Word of God expecting Him to teach us and to show us His Word, because He wants to. It's more than just memorizing scriptures. It's more than just reading the Bible and praying. It's going to this as the Word of life, asking my Father to open the eyes of my heart as I go to it. Now, reading the Bible is good. Praying is good. Memorizing scriptures, those are all good things. Don't get me wrong. Those are planting the seeds of, you know, that maybe God has something to work with. But we can't just go through the motions of doing those things in our lives, or it will accomplish nothing. I was reading an article this week about a famous communist leader from years ago, and it talked about him as a young child. And the preacher in his village, his parents were Christians, and they made him go to church, and they made him learn the scriptures. And the preacher got frustrated because the kids weren't memorizing the scriptures like they should. So he started to reward them with candy. And then they memorized the scriptures. And this particular future communist leader, very famous one, memorized the four Gospels perfectly. He really wanted that candy. I mean, that's really, when he taught, you know, later on in life, he totally denounced God, and his life kind of showed that he had other things that held him besides the four Gospels. You know, knowing the Bible is not what we're after. I mean, it is in one sense, but it's believing those words of life. It's having the eyes of our heart illuminated as we go to God's Word that makes a difference, you know. It's so much more than just going through the motions of my daily quiet time with God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a quiet time with your Father, that you shouldn't pray and read His Word, that you shouldn't memorize. That is not at all what I'm saying. But it's got to be more than going through the motions of those things. We have to approach God's Word as a living Word, because He says it is. We have to approach it remembering it's the word of our Father to us to help us to live in this world. Then it becomes an open book to us, not just to everyone else. Where are we here? You know, James 1:21, you don't have to turn there. It talks about receiving with meekness that engrafted word which is able to save us, it says. Is that what it says? Which is able to save your souls. And that word save is to make whole. This word of God is able to make whole our souls. Another verse in Psalms talks about this word of God restoring the soul. I don't know about you, that sounds like a pretty good thing for me, you know, something that I might need in my life, you know. We live in the world, it's controlled by the adversary. We need this word of God to know where to walk, to know how to walk, to be able to understand what are God's ways and what are not God's ways. You know, because God's ways and His thoughts are higher. Remember that from Isaiah 55? Some of you can turn there. It's still a good verse to look at. Start in verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And even when we get born again and are filled with Holy Spirit, this is still true. The mind doesn't change when someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, God's ways, His thoughts, are different than man's, and they're much, much higher. We have to approach the Word of God with a hunger, with a meekness, so He can teach us His ways, so He can teach us to understand His Word. You know, sometime look at the Psalms in light of the words, "Teach me, show me, give me understanding." That's the heart wherewith we go to God's Word, with humbleness, with meekness. You're God, I'm not. You know more, you're smarter than me. Teach me, show me, help me to understand your ways. Not just memorize the verses, but understand your heart. Help me to know you, Father. That's the way we want to approach the Word of God. You know, we are to be transformed by this Word. You know, Romans 12, you could turn there if you want, Romans 12, 2, if you're not familiar with it. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by reading the Bible, by reading the Bible and praying, by memorizing scripture, by replacing one negative thought with two positive thoughts. I mean, you laugh. Those are great techniques. Don't get me wrong. It's good to read the Bible. It's good to memorize the scripture. It's good if I'm holding a wrong thought to stop and correct it and put good thoughts from His Word in there. But those are techniques. That isn't what transforms us. It's the renewing of the mind. It's holding the Word in our mind to the point we believe it in our hearts. It's what holds us. It starts with reading the Bible and knowing the Bible and memorizing. Like I said, I am not saying don't do those things, but let's do them with a heart for, Father, teach me, show me, you know. You can memorize a verse of Scripture and it may help you, you know. Ephesians 4:32. Anybody know it? Somebody quote it? Barb.
And be kind one to another, forgiving one another.
Tenderhearted.
Tenderhearted.
And be kind one to another. I know, she knows it. She's quoted it to me. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I can memorize that scripture. In fact, I think my children had to, probably. That's a good verse. How much more when I take a look at the kindness of God that sent a Savior, when I look at the heart of my Father, who so loved, was so kind in His mercy and grace to send us a Savior, to send me and you a Savior who deserved nothing. How much more do I understand and believe when I look at what Christ forgave me for? When I take a look at Romans and understand the doctrine there and the truths regarding of the state man was in, and even though we were so yucky, God chose to love us anyways, to send His Son, to forgive us for all our unrighteousness, to make us holy ones. How much more does that verse mean to me as I ponder and know those truths? You know, it's not just reading the Bible. It's not just memorizing the Bible. It's doing those things, but it's meditating on the Word. It's considering these things. It's going to the Word and going to our Father. Teach me and show me. Help me to understand to forgive like this, because there's no way I can do this myself. There is no way I can live a holy life. I know me. You know, help me, teach me, show me. Going to God's Word with that kind of an attitude enables God to help us, to teach us, to show us, to the end that we are transformed. You know, and like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. You can work with your children when they're little and train them, and all of a sudden they really will start doing something that you've been trying to teach them. You know, I mean, we understand that when it comes to working with kids or working with ourselves. You know, if you're going to run a marathon, you start training for it. You don't just decide one day to get up and decide to run a marathon. Well, most of us, maybe some of you could. But, you know, there's some training involved. You understand it's going to take time to get in shape before you can run the 26 miles, right? I don't know why it's any different. We think it's different when we go to the Word. We want instant results. I want to walk with the power like Jesus Christ walked. I want to heal everyone. And when I heal people, great. And when I don't, why didn't I? What did I do wrong, you know? We want to be able to have this be what holds us in our hearts no matter what's going on in life. When you look at the Apostle Paul, that's on the next page, I think, here. I'm going to go ahead. Turn to Romans 8, please. We'll look at the Apostle Paul a little bit and what he had to say and what he says in the Word of God for our doctrine. Now, before you go there, go to 2 Corinthians. That's a better place to go first. We'll come back to Romans 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 23, it says, I hear the page is still turning. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes, that's like whippings, more above measure, beyond measuring. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. You guys know what perils are? Dangers. Is that a good definition? Yeah. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory over the things which concern mine infirmities. Memorizing a verse of scripture isn't going to sustain you in that kind of attack. It's good to memorize scriptures, but it has to be believed. It's got to be what holds us in our souls for us to want to glorify God in the midst of that kind of persecution. You know, some of us have things we're dealing with in life. We need jobs. We need healing. If in the midst of those needs, that's what's magnified more than God, we got some work to do still. Do you understand? If my needs in my life are more prevalent than my God, I need a little more instruction in righteousness, and I can approach the Word of God humbly. Okay, God, that one took me out. Help me, teach me, show me. It's not a big guilt thing, condemnation thing, but a recognition, oh, I thought I had that under my belt. I don't. Okay, Father, let's start again. Teach me, show me, guide me, help me. He wants to. The Apostle Paul is a great example. In the midst of all of that, what's he want to do? Glorify God. Look in chapter 12. In verse 10 it says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Okay, I got a little bit of growing to do. I don't know about you. I read verses like that, and there's more I need to understand. You know, there's more I need to hold on to that the Word of God will teach me. You know, and face it, folks, most of the persecutions and trials we have, you know, we're pretty blessed in this country, you know, with what we have. You know, some of you get concerned about having the money for your rent or for your house payment. You know, there's people in the world that are concerned about where they're going to live and what they're going to eat. You know, there's bigger things in life. But even then, regardless, those are very real to us and very pressing on us at times. But we don't want those to be what we focus on. We don't want those to be that, you know, be the things that pull us away from God. Why isn't God answering my prayer? Why is he good to them and not to me? Why doesn't he do what his word says? If situations in life cause us to go there, we've got some work to do. Okay, good. We'll help each other, you know. We'll go to his word and he will help us. He will teach us. He will show us. He will guide us, you know. Do you understand more what I mean by memorizing scripture? It's not enough to overcome the attacks of our adversary. You know, knowing a verse isn't going to, it's not like, what is it, the vampires, you hold up a cross. You know, it's not a little magic book that we just hold up and quote a verse and he runs away. Believing the word? Yeah. Knowing my authority that I have in Christ? Yeah. Believing that in my soul, having that be what holds me in the midst of circumstances, yeah. You know, but memorizing verses are not enough to stand against the forces of evil in this life. Look at 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter. And when I say forces of evil, the attacks of the adversary, we have an adversary. The Word of God says, that really doesn't want us to live for God, to speak for God, to be blessed in this life. The Word of God is very clear about that. But the forces of evil are not always apparent. Sometimes things that look really good aren't. You know, how are we going to know that? We have to know from His Word. We have to have know His ways, know His thoughts to be able to discern that. We have to have His Spirit and His guidance to be able to know. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 9 it says, We'll start in verse 8. Be sober. Actually, verse 8 is where I wanted to go. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Evil is planned and orchestrated against the believers. You know, the word seeking is the same word that's used of Herod when Jesus Christ was a young child, and Herod was seeking him. And it was just like, he looked for him once and he was done. No, if you know the record, he had all the children under age 2 in Bethlehem and the surrounding area killed. He was seeking him. He was after him. It's the same word used of Jesus Christ when he was 12 and his parents, and they went to Jerusalem, and he's left behind accidentally, and they travel a whole day's journey, and then they realize that he's not with them, and they go back seeking him, and 3 days later, they find him. You know, any of you parents ever lose? You don't have to raise your hand. That's kind of you may have lost a child once in a while in a store, or, you know, left him at a gas station or whatever. I'm not going to. I've heard lots of stories. Never happened to me, of course. Usually, mine were in the clothes that go in the middle of the clothes things in the stores. But anyway, or I all the lights would go off in the store, and I'd know where Brendan was. Brendan loves switches. But when you lose a child, you earnestly seek for them. You look for them, you know, hard. You don't just, they'll show up. They're two. No. You look for them. That's the way the adversary is seeking. I might also say it's the way we're supposed to seek those things which are above. It's a great word to look at. But my point is in this verse, that he's seeking whom he may devour. You know, memorizing Ephesians 4:32 isn't going to totally withstand those kind of attacks. We have to have the Word of God in our souls, in our hearts, in our lives. It says we're to be transformed by this Word of God to the end that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Please. Reading the Bible is not enough to quench the fiery darts of our adversary's attacks. In verse 10, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of..." Bible verses. Oh. No. The shield of believing. And obviously believing what? The Word of God. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We need God's word living in our souls. Our very lives have to be rooted in the truth of his word. We go to God's word. We learn it. We read it. We memorize it. We meditate on it. We continue in it daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, to the end that this word of God is in our souls. It's what holds us. It's our anchor for our life. Then we can be like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. Or like we read in 1 Corinthians 2. But in Romans 8, Paul speaks by revelation. In verse 35 of Romans 8, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Yeah, it might. Up here. You know, let's be honest. Sometimes things in our lives just throw us out, off track. Well, it doesn't have to, you know. Spiritually, nothing can separate us. We read on. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I'm just memorizing scriptures and reading the Bible because it's a nice book and I want happy thoughts, when persecution arises, it's not going to hold me. This word of God has to be believed. It has to be the anchor for our souls. We continue in reading the word and memorizing scripture and going to his word to the end that our lives are transformed by it. You know, it may not happen overnight, but we can be sure that our God is faithful and will perform his word. Back in Isaiah chapter 55, where we looked before, where we read about God's thoughts, you can turn there. God's thoughts not being our thoughts, his ways not our ways. We continue on. It says in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God is faithful and will perform his word. If we will faithfully go to his word, remembering it's a word of life, that it is to be our life, that it's the way of life for us, we go to it humbly with meekness. Teach me, show me, give me understanding. Help me to know your ways, to know your thoughts. Help me to really believe this word, God, because I don't in some areas, you know, that we're that honest with our Father. And we go to him with that humbleness. Teach me and show me. We don't just go through the motions of reading our Bible. That doesn't do anything if it's done without any kind of thought. You know, I can get up and read the word every morning and at the end of the hour not know what I've read. Done that before? You don't have to raise your hand there. It's not, you know, I've been there. I've done this. It's been how many years since I got born again? I've read the Bible a lot, and there's times where I get nothing out of it. I'll be honest. But when I remember it's the word of life, and I approach it as such, and I approach it with great awe and reverence, remembering God Almighty gave us this word to instruct us in righteousness, that we might know how to live in this life. And I go to him with humbleness and ask him to teach me and show me. He will be faithful to do that. Maybe not every time you read the Bible, it's like, dun-da-da. But as you're faithfully doing that and going to his word, he will teach you and show you. He promises to do so. His word will prosper. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We can never afford to get so arrogant in our knowledge of the scripture that we don't approach it with humbleness. Some of you know a lot of the scriptures. You could probably quote more than me up here. But knowledge is knowledge. So what? If a communist leader can memorize the four gospels, I haven't done that. What good did the knowledge do him? What good will knowledge of the word do without believing the word, without remembering where this word came from? You can quote all the verses you want to me, but if it's not remembering that it's the word of God and the word of life, and I'm ministering that to one another with believing and love and tenderness, it won't profit the way God would have it profit, you know. And God's given us his word that we might know this, that we might walk in his ways. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm not there yet, I'm talking. That I mentioned before, that word for instruction is used in this section of scripture. In chapter 12, it's used, the word is translated chastening or chastisement. You can substitute if you want for instruction. That word doesn't mean a lot to most of us, or it means something bad. To me, it does anyways. I don't know about you, but We're going to start in verse 1, though, before we get to the instruction of the Lord that it talks about. It says in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." You know, it was joy. He must have been believing something besides the pain he was going to be going through here. "Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the instruction of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he instructs, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure instruction, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father instructs not? But if you be without instruction, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, our parents, verily for a few days instructed us after their own pleasure. But he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no instruction for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." As Christians, as God's dear children, we need to truly seek that instruction in righteousness, to honestly recognize I can't live a holy life walking with his power, doing his will, doing his works in this world without it. I can put on a good front, be positive and be kind and loving, but that's not what we're after. We're after the real thing here. As we patiently continue to go to God's word, drinking of this living water, God's word of life to us, as we choose to be trained and instructed in his ways and his thoughts, it will yield that peaceable fruit of righteousness, the word of God says. It will. That's what the word of God says. Sometimes, like I said, we get impatient. We want things overnight. I want to walk like Jesus Christ today. Oh, good, good. Just recognize you might not quite do it perfectly the first day you try it. It takes getting a little bit of this in there to believe. Turn back to 2 Timothy and we'll close there. In chapter 3, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." It's good for us. It's the word of God. It's God-breathed. It's given for our profit, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. And then look at verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto God, all good works." This word of God is given for our instruction to the end that we might be fully equipped, that we might be totally equipped, not lacking in anything, not lacking in believing, in compassion, in power, in wisdom, in love, in forgiveness, in joy, in peace. It's given that we might be fully equipped to the end that we can serve our wonderful, loving Father, doing his will, doing it his way, with his power and his authority. God wants his children to rise up to know him, to know his word, so that we can stand in this world, that we don't have to succumb to the attacks of our adversary with defeat and discouragement and despair, but that we can know the God who gave his only son, that we can believe that he is faithful, he is good, and he will help us. You know, Hebrews 4:16 says that we're to come humbly. I got to read it. I can't quote it right now, my brain. Hebrews 4, you can turn there if you want. Someone could probably quote it, but right now. Verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We have been given access by the Lord Jesus Christ to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but the more I read of the scriptures, the more I read of our adversary, the time of need is like now, and in a minute, and in another minute. It's limitless. We can go to that throne of grace at any time. You know, we go to God, we go to His Word, and we find help. We find grace and mercy to help us in the need, which is every moment of every day, as far as I can figure. You know, we need to go to His Word to be fully equipped to walk as His sons in this world. And what a joy that is that He's given us His Word that we might be able to do this. That He didn't just send His Son and then say, you figure it out now. You're on your own. You got power, but I'm not going to tell you what to do with it. You got authority, but good luck figuring out what that means. No, He gave us His Word that we might be instructed in His ways and walk in His ways. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that Your Word is so amazing, that it is powerful, that it is living, that it's from You, God, and that we can approach it with great reverence, with great awe, because it comes from You, the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the One who so loved that You gave Your Son that we might know You. And Father, may we daily, weekly, hourly, years, doesn't matter, Father, how long it takes, may we go to Your Word with great humbleness and meekness, and receive Your instruction in righteousness that we might live our lives to Your praise and to Your glory, both individually, Father, and then as a church. And, oh, Father, You are just so good, and we give You great praise. We give You the glory, Father, for this life we now have because of You. And it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Mike. Great job, Kathy. Well, we're going to close this morning with number 27, God's Word Stands. And I think you should all stand too. How's that? Number 27.
God's Word stands like a rock gun, does it mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth.
Thank you for coming this morning. If you have any need or trouble, in your life that you'd like a solution to from God's Word, I would encourage you to ask somebody you trust in the Word before you leave this morning. If you're new here and don't know who to ask, come to me and I'll point you in the right direction, okay? So God bless. Have a wonderful week.